Hi, I'm Taylor Smurl, and I'm an experienced bartender.
And I'm Tommy Smurl. I'm an experienced drinker.
He's my dad, and together this is...
Neat! A weekly booze cast.
With history lessons, trivia, and a twist.
So pull up a stool to the bar and join us for the lowdown on your highball.
Hey, Dad, welcome back.
Well, hello there, Tay. How are you doing?
Doing great. How about you?
Well, hanging right in there. Gets a little bit warm during the day, but gets really damn cold at night.
It is winter time.
It is winter, and the holidays fast approaching.
Yep. And, you know, speaking of the holidays, I think one of the flavors of the season, without a doubt, is mint.
Ah, yes, mint. It's also a lovely green color to go with the red and green of Christmas that everyone thinks about.
Absolutely. I thought in the spirit of the holiday, we could talk about, I think, one of the more historical mint-based spirits, creme de menthe. A somewhat maligned, but I think useful ingredient for the holiday season.
Oh, yeah. It, the more that I looked at it, the more I wanted it.
Well, first and foremost, of course, what is it? Creme de menthe is a relatively low ABV, around like 15 to 25% alcohol, sweet mint liqueur. So usually a distillate that has been infused with dried either Corsican mint or peppermint leaves and sweetened considerably. Now that creme de part, which sometimes confuses people because it translates to mint cream, I think it's not an unfair mistake to think it's going to be like a creamy mint drink, like actual cream base.
Yeah, like a thick liqueur or something like that.
Yes, but it does not refer to actual cream. It actually just relates to the sugar content of the liqueur. Once you have a high enough sugar content that it becomes sort of a viscous syrup, this label is often applied. Specifically, if you have at least 250 grams of sugar per liter, so that the cream... it falls under the label of creme de whatever, you know, like creme de violette, creme de peche, these are all creme de cacao. They're cream liqueurs because they have a high enough sugar content to qualify as them.
Creme brulee?
No, that's, you can't do that. maybe a creme de creme brulee, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I have to invent that.
It might just be vanilla. Now, what it is not is peppermint schnapps, although it's easy to confuse the two because there are some similarities. Schnapps is generally less sweet. It's usually a much higher ABV, like usually a standard, like 40%, like or 40 proof, 40%, 80 proof. And of course, it's got its own origin and history. And also, I think it's worth noting that creme de menthe is not interchangeable with fresh mint or fresh mint syrup. Fresh mint in a cocktail provides herbal notes. You know, if you've ever bitten into a mint leaf, it's minty, sure, but it also has some grassiness, a certain, like, fresh brightness, whereas creme de menthe is more of a mint candy flavor. So when we're making cocktails, if you want that fresh, mint, earthy quality, you go for real mint. If you want after-dinner mint, you go with creme de menthe.
Yeah, I think of peppermint schnapps as being like vodka with peppermint syrup in it.
Yeah, it's much more high-octane. It can be very sweet, but it's definitely not used in the same way. Like, it's not used as a liqueur as much as it's just something you drink.
Yeah, and there's also a difference between peppermint and mint. Hmm. Taste-wise, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Now, creme de menthe, it has pretty decent history. It comes from France. Specifically, it was the flagship product of a pretty important company that's absolutely still around today. It's the Giffard brand. So Giffard traces its roots to Emile Giffard, who is a pharmacist in Angers, France, around the mid to late 1800s. He invented creme de menthe in 1885. So he was researching into the stomach settling properties of mint. We're still talking the time period where alcohol was equally as likely to be made for medicinal purposes as recreational, and just as likely to come from a pharmacist as a bartender. So he made his traditional creme de menthe with by steeping dried leaves of mint in grain alcohol for many weeks. It kind of created like a green color to the liquor, but then he would filter that out and mix it with sugar. Nowadays, some brands, you'll either see it artificially colored, bright green, it'll have a natural green color from the mint, or they might filter all that out and it might be clear. So you'll see green creme de menthe and clear creme de menthe. There's not really a difference in quality. It's just a stylistic choice. But the original was clarified.
Well, I like the idea of the green one. That just makes it much more festive. The clear one, you don't know what you're getting. But when it's green, you know what it is.
Well, I think some people see the green and think, well, that's a fake color. And that sometimes that's true. But sometimes it literally is just from the natural mint. It's just, you know, that's just the mint infused into the liqueur.
Well, I think that it makes it look more appealing.
Yeah. But I guess it's worth having it a lot. I mean, I think when you have a intense bar program, you usually have both because you do factor in the color. So if you want a minty flavor, but you don't want that bright green color clashing with something else that's in the drink, you can opt for the white creme de menthe. So they're both useful, but mainly when we're talking stylistic choices.
Yeah.
In any case, it caught on in popularity much more for its taste than its stomach settling properties. Especially in the heat of the summer, it was super popular. So Giffard decided to run with it. He switched from pharmacy to distilling, and his creme de menthe became a feature drink at the nearby Grand Hotel in Angers. He originally called it menthe pastille, named after like little mint candies that were popular at the time. Now, the Giffard brand really went on to expand to every corner of the liqueur realm from there, along with like non-alcoholic syrups, but they have like They have their own creme de cacao, creme de cassis. They have exotic and modern flavors. They've got Madagascar vanilla liqueurs, banana de Brazil, lychee, passion fruit, melon liqueurs. Really, as of today, they're sort of a good meeting ground in the market of something that it's affordable enough to put on a menu. They're not too expensive, but also very much quality. So very, very iconic brand still around today in mixing.
Well, that's almost a niche company that goes into making all those different kind of things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they do what they do and they do it really well. But like I said, also affordable, you know, mid-range bottles for compared to some liqueurs. Now, as far as what to do with creme de menthe, it's found its way in a lot of a few popular drinks, specifically around the turn of the century. But there's one, the first I want to talk about, you might have heard about, and that's the grasshopper, which has a weird little history of its own. So the grasshopper was born in a place where many cocktails originate. That's New Orleans.
They seem to invent a lot of them there.
They're good at what they do, and they're very good at birthing cocktails. So Two Jacks restaurant was the birthplace of the grasshopper. Two Jacks is actually, it's got its own unique history in New Orleans, but it was founded by another Frenchman, namesake of Two Jacks. It was opened in 1856, and incidentally, it also often claims to be the birthplace of brunch. So like the first real brunch as we know it today took place at Two Jacks. It's interesting. But as far as the grasshopper is concerned, shortly after opening Two Jacks, Two Jacks himself sold the place to the Guichet family. Philibert Guichet created the grasshopper to compete in a 1918 New York City cocktail competition. So he took it up to New York to have it sampled. He didn't quite win, but he did come in second place. And his combination was creme de menthe, creme de cacao, and cream in equal proportions. A light chocolate mint sipper. But, you know, second place was pretty good, so he brought it back. He put it on the menu, and it became a staple of Two Jacks, and it still is to this day. They sell hundreds. They've slightly altered the recipe. Now they feature a float of brandy on top of it, and they also specifically use both dark and light creme de cacao and white and green creme de menthe. So
yeah, I noticed that they put all those different ones in there and just small portions of each one other than just the original.
Yeah. I mean, it works out. I don't know, like, how much of it is, I'm saying, like, aesthetics versus flavor. I know that there's definitely difference in the flavor of, like, white and dark creme de cacao, but I don't think there's difference in flavor. Maybe that's, I'm sure somebody would argue that white and green creme de menthe taste differently. But in any case, it works out to a really nice, light, kind of pale mint color. So there's that. But yeah, if you're ever in New Orleans and you want a little taste of history, a little sweet taste of history, they are still serving them at Two Jacks to this day.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, there was there's also with creme de menthe, there's a lot of different holiday style drinks that you can make with that that really look interesting. You know, because you think about the coarse peppermint candy canes and you think about, you know, the green and red mint flavorings and things like that. And there's a peppermint patty that's got the served on the rocks, and it's a refreshing sipper like that. And there's a hot peppermint patty that you make in with the mixture of several of those things in hot chocolate. And that sounds really good, too, because you think of mint and chocolate being together in drinks. So that really sounds good. And they got some good names: Midnight Snowstorm, Spiked Christmas Coffee, The Holiday Hopper.
Yeah. But, well, I thought one that you would like, which is it's just still the grasshopper, but it's specifically how it's made in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So it caught on similarly there around the 50s. That's really when the grasshopper hit its stride, was in like the 50s and 60s. It was like kind of got outside of the South and became popular all over the place. But in Wisconsin, because they both had the dairy industry, it was also the home of the invention of the blender, which maybe may not factor into it, but they started subbing out the cream, throwing the creme de menthe, the creme de cacao, and ice cream in a blender and making a boozy blended grasshopper milkshake. So if you are in New Orleans and you order grasshopper, you might get the one we discussed before. But if you're in Wisconsin, you might get a milkshake.
Well, now I know what I'm having this weekend for dessert. I'm having the ice cream grasshopper.
There you go.
That's right up my alley.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and a lot of these drinks, like the sort of the low alcohol, high sugar, boozy milkshake kind of drinks, fell out of favor and weren't really brought back by the early years of the cocktail revival, just because they were not quite as structured and serious. But nowadays, like, you know, as you mentioned, like, a lot of people have looked at these formats and these sweet liqueurs and have done some really fun things with them. But if all of this does sound too sweet, there is another historically popular cocktail that you can make with creme de menthe. Although I don't think you would like this as much as the frozen grasshopper.
No, I would say that is exactly the one that I want. Now, I might work with a few of the other ingredients that we talked about, you know, like the creme de caco, the different, there's the dark and the light and some things like that, and tweak a little bit. But yeah, that's right where I'm looking for.
Well, that does sound too sweet. There is also the stinger, which you might have heard that term. I don't know. It's a term that I think pops up in a lot of, well, pop culture places. They're mentioned in a couple James Bond novels. I always think of, you know, the company, the Ladies Who Lunch line about another vodka stinger, and I never quite knew what that was. But the stinger in its origin is a creme de menthe cocktail. Not exact. Depends on your definition of a cocktail, because it's just two ingredients. In its origin, it was just brandy and creme de menthe, and that goes all the way back to like the 1890s. It was a very popular high society drink, and it really hit its mark in Prohibition, as did creme de menthe in general, because it could mask the flavor of whatever had been smuggled in or brewed in a bathtub. The strong minty flavor would hide a lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I mean, the stinger sort of got away from that initial combo and kind of just became a concept. So it was any spirit with liqueur. The liqueur usually was creme de menthe. So that's where you get, like, the vodka stinger, you know, a tequila stinger, an amaretto stinger, and they're all just creme de menthe with some sort of spirit.
Well, that was another one that I saw. It sounded like something that Mom would do, is they said that you make your grasshopper and you put your two ingredients, like you said, and instead of the cream, you add vodka to it. And that way it makes a little bit overproofed your drink. It adds a little more kick to it, you know.
But you no know? Cream?
No, not the cream. Just those two, the creme de menthe and the creme de coco, and then add like a shot of vodka in there with it. Yeah. And that way it takes a little bit of the sweetness out of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I've ever had. I actually don't think I've ever had a grasshopper.
I've heard of them, but I've never had one.
We did something close to one in a frozen machine once. It was like a mint chocolate thing, but it wasn't just that simplified. So I'm curious how just like the original one tastes just on its own. I imagine it just tastes like sweet chocolate mint milk, but who knows.
Now, here's one that they talked about that's, I guess you can use this. This is good for holidays. This is a St. Patrick's Day drink that they have. It's called Irish Eyes, and it's combine your favorite Irish whiskey with green creme de menthe and cream, and enjoy this satisfying whiskey sipper.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Well, that's definitely the other time of the year that creme de menthe comes into play, just for the...
For the green.
Green color, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and they have the Emerald Isle. That's a two-ingredient martini that's gin and the creme de coco and a couple of dashes of bitters.
I like how you say creme de cacao.
Well, I didn't mean that either. I meant creme de menthe. Cacao. I never do get that right. We had that one other show, and I could not get that right. Creme de cacao. I sound like a bird.
You keep saying creme de cacao. That's how you keep saying it.
And it was supposed to be creme de mint anyway. I meant. Yeah. I didn't even mean that.
There you go.
I didn't even mean that other word, whatever it is.
Well, you know, something else. I mean, you might have enough time. You might need to sit a little bit longer. But I will say creme de menthe is something you can make on your own, because we're not talking about anything distilled. We're just talking about a sweetened infusion. So you could get, a grain neutral spirit of your preference, and you could infuse it with dried mint or fresh mint, honestly, and then sweeten it to taste, and you could have your own creme de menthe. Because the reason that if you use a high proof spirit, you mix it with a sugar syrup, and that proofs it down into that, 15-25% range.
Mm-hmm. We'll see how you think this one sounds. This is a mint choco chata martini.
I don't like any of that.
It's rum chata mixed with chocolate vodka and creme de menthe.
That sounds very sweet. That sounds delicious. It sounds like dessert. There was one... I was gonna say that's not a real cocktail, but when I was doing my research, Jeffrey Morgenthaler is a pretty important figure in the bar world. He was in an interview talking about creme de menthe, and specifically the grasshopper, because he has an iteration of it. This was an older interview, so I don't know if it's still on his menu, but he had an iteration of grasshopper on the menu, and he was saying that, his goal is to get rid of this idea that, why do we love the Vucaré, but we hate the espresso martini? Why do we love a Manhattan, but we hate something like a grasshopper? And it's just this sort of level of pretension of some things are spirit forward and balanced, and then some things are sweet and nice, and that's fine. Let's just remove all these prejudices and just drink cocktails and make cocktails. And so I like that philosophy.
Well, I feel like sometimes on these things, I think people like to punish themselves. I don't know. But I mean, I've never found just pouring a glass of alcohol and drinking that by itself is an enjoyable experience. I mean, I got to get through that. I like some of these mixes we do where you don't really even taste the alcohol after you get done making it. I think that should be the point. Because then you're drinking something you enjoy sipping on.
I mean, it depends. Everybody's got different palates. I personally like the taste of some alcohols, and that's why I drink them. But I do think it's one of those things where everybody has a preference, and as long as we're not mixing anything that is I mean, it's all bad for you. It's all alcohol.
they're all medicines. It's for strictly medicinal purposes.
No. None of it's worse for you than anything else in like a moralistic sense. It's all booze. And you know, he also made another good point in that article, which is that because drinks like the Grasshopper and like, I mean, he named a couple more, but like were associated with the 50s and 60s. There's kind of always this handoff in generations of like, well, if my mom and dad drank that, I don't want to drink it. I mean, you mentioned that your parents had a bottle of creme de menthe, and there's always that bit of generational effect too, that like, you know, if it was popular 20 years ago, then the next generation is going to snub their nose at it. So I think there's a bit of that effect too, is why you don't see more creme de menthe cocktails and definitely more Grasshopper plays on the menu.
Well, I had to tell you the truth. I'd just forgotten about it until you brought it up as a topic, and that's what made me remember that. It was like one of those memories that you get when you encounter a certain type smell or somebody does something and it reminds you of that. I'd completely forgotten about it, and you brought that up, and I could picture that bottle of creme de menthe sitting there at their alcohol table.
Yeah. Was it green or was it white?
It was green. It was definitely green, and it was like a half a bottle, and we had it forever. I don't know when they drank the first half, but because it was always half full the whole time I saw it, I don't know. They never threw anything away, so I guess you figure alcohol doesn't go bad.
That makes sense though, because during the time that it was like before it really hit its big popularity, before the Grasshopper really got way popular in like the 50s and 60s, even throughout like the South, it was a specifically like an after dinner drink, or like, you know, if you're gonna have like a luncheon, because it was low alcohol, it was sweet, it was light, it was like a very popular, you know, hot day drink. It doesn't sound like it, but you know, light, minty, makes sense.
Well, I tell you what I like that you've taught me on this show that I did not know before, is that you can mix, you know, like maybe two or three or even four different kinds of alcohol together, and it makes a drink and a taste that does not taste like alcohol.
Yeah.
It's not like you can only achieve a taste by adding like some kind of mixer, like a cola or a juice or something like that is the only way you can make it so it doesn't taste like alcohol. And that just amazes me that you can mix three or four alcohols together and it tastes like there's no alcohol in it.
Yeah. I feel like that is... That's one of the really cool things about mixing, but it's also like, it's one of those traps where I feel like when I was first designing drinks, I felt like everything I made came out tasting like grapefruit juice, and I would use wildly different ingredients, but I really like grapefruit. Like, it's a perfect flavor for me, for my palate, and I just kept making things with different ingredients, and like, at the time, the people I was working for would try my menus and be like, everything tastes like grapefruit juice again. It's like, damn it. But that's the alchemy of alcohol.
Taylor's Grapefruit Bar.
I know. I have six different cocktails, all different ingredients. They all taste like grapefruit. I don't know.
That's like they say about meat. Tastes like chicken, huh? Everything tastes like chicken.
Who says that? No, nobody says that.
Everybody says tastes like chicken. That's what the cannibal said. Tastes like chicken.
No, they didn't. But all right, but there you go. So that's creme de menthe. You know, definitely. And I will also say, even if you're not much of a drinker, it's a pretty cheap bottle, and it's also good for baking. You know, you can make grasshopper pie with it. It's so low alcohol that, you know, it bakes off really easily if you just want it as a flavoring.
I didn't know that. Grasshopper pie, huh?
Yeah.
That sounds pretty interesting.
That's that green minty pie, right? I don't think I've ever heard about that.
Well, the other thing is you're always searching around for things during the holiday if you're having a party or something like that. You know, what can you throw together as some kind of punch or something? And this just works so well in so many ways. Not only visually is it a nice treat for a Christmas, you know, drink, but it's also, it tastes so good. So, okay. Yeah, I would say get a bottle and Google some recipes and try them out.
You can throw a little in your eggnog, make peppermint eggnog really easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought about that, that you can put it in your coffee.
Yeah.
Coffee with a little mint flavoring. That would be good.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, so I always when sometimes we talk about more obscure things and they're expensive, I'm like, only if it sounds super appealing to you. But this one's not. You can get a cheap bottle of creme de menthe, and that's one of those products where there's definitely higher end versions, but the low end ones are fine. If you've spent $15 on a bottle of creme de menthe, you probably bought a pretty good one. There are cheaper ones.
That's good. I like those kind.
Yeah. There you go. Well, if we get around to a video, we will maybe make up some grasshoppers or some stingers. So keep an eye out for that. Yeah. Well, thank you, Dad, for being here.
Well, thank you, Tater, for having me. Once again, I learned something. I always do.
Thank you all for being here with us. Everybody have a happy holiday season.
Happy holidays to you and yours.
I've been Taylor Smurl.
I've been Tommy Smurl.
And this has been
Meep.